comes to your mind? What is one word that could really describe what New Vine is? What word comes to your mind? Brunch? Fellowship? I think when we were starting New Vine, even way before we launched, I think the idea that God gave to us, his dream for New Vine was a family. Do you sense that? You know, whenever I come, I feel like this is just a brand new family that God is building here. And you look around, you know, we come such different walks of life. And we are really a family. And a lot of churches today, we want to grow in mass and we want to grow very quickly. But that's not how families actually grow. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord has really given us as a dream is that this church, this family of God, will actually be built and be run by the members of his family. Meaning that we're very, very intentional. This church really does not run by professional people. Even though I am a full-time minister, clergyman, you look around all the people that serve and that come here every week, they're not professional pastors. People come up here and lead in our worship. They're not professional musicians or worship leaders. And so I think that's what a family really means. And just imagine if you have your own family, can you imagine having a professional father? Just hire somebody to be your father for just a season, or professional mother, or can you be my professional brother? We'll pay you so and so. Can you be my brother for a season? You just cannot imagine that, right? So that's what we are, and I really do believe that that's what God is building here in Mountain View. So my greatest joy is to see one of you or a bunch of you really rising up. And I was just so blessed last Sunday. Sergio, if I can just talk about you just for a little bit, is it okay? Can you give me permission? Sergio came up to me after our worship and he said, you know, I've been coming here for several weeks and I'm new here, but I am in. It's time for me to make a commitment and I want to serve. I want to be part of this family. And you know, for me, this is the greatest joy. This is the greatest gift that I can receive as a pastor. So I just want to thank Sergio for just making the commitment. And I think that's what we want to see here. That, you know, I can see that everyone here is contributing to the life of this family. And I'm just so grateful, especially when I see these young people coming here, just, you know, moving things and doing all the labor work. So this is a long introduction to my brother. You've known Alan. Alan, come on up here. You know, people like Alan and people like Douglas, they're not professionally trained clergymen like I am. They did not go to seminary. They did not have any kind of formal training. Alan is actually my dentist. I met him 10 years ago, and more than 10 years ago, actually. And our journey together has just been an incredible one. And, you know, along the way, we became friends, and he started coming out to our church. And now, he really became a partner in ministry, partner in the kingdom, a great friend who's always running with me. And the Lord really has taken this family just through a season of transformation. And I've seen him grow in the Lord. And now, even though he's not a professional pastor, he is a pastor at his workplace. He has turned his dental practice really into a place of ministry. You look at Tremi, she's pastoring many of the students at Mission College. And people like Douglas and many of us, we're really just responding to God's call to shepherd and to lead people. So this is really my greatest joy. And today, you get to hear from our brother instead of a professional pastor like me. And God has been really working in his heart. I think the message that he brings to us is really what we have been talking about. So I want you to really take the time to encourage him and share your thoughts and what God is speaking to you even afterwards. And even as you listen, let's pray that God will really speak to each one of us through our brother here. Will you just join me in blessing him? Let's just reach out our hands towards him and let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this amazing opportunity where we see your work in our brother's life. And Lord, it took many, many years of your walking with him and your teaching and his obedience, Lord. And Lord, we welcome what you will speak through our brother today. As he brings God's word, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be tender and soft to receive it, and that we too will respond in complete obedience to what you're speaking to us today through Alan. So we ask you to fill him with your Holy Spirit. Fill all of us with your Spirit, Lord, that we'll be able to hear from you and understand your heart for us and for this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's welcome Alan one more time.
That was a pretty awesome introduction, isn't it? You know, about 16 years ago, I never knew why in the world would I come down to San Jose to open a practice. I still don't know why. At that time, I was living in San Francisco, and there was an opportunity to open up in Los Gatos. I was always been a city boy, and Los Gatos, where is that? I kept asking the guy, and he says, yeah, it's next to Cupertino. I said, where is that? And then when he says it's next to Saratoga, I said, where is that, you know? And the reason I'm saying that is because my life has always been that kind of a journey. I really never knew where I was going, but I was just doing things on my own, and I see now where God has really placed me. It's, you're always wondering, looking ahead, but when you look back, when I look back, I really see God's hand in my life. So I really want to thank you, God, for really putting me in this position here to share God's word. My life has not always been following the Lord. So for me to stand here to share with you God's word is actually a miracle. It is kind of nerve-wracking standing here to share with you, but I'm just going to share from my heart. And when Pastor Ted said, okay, we're going to raise up a group of preachers to lead New Vine, and I'm going to say, where am I going to share, you know? So I'm just going to pick from one of the verses that God spoke into my life, how I was so far away from him and how he has brought me back. So I'm going to share that with you. It's a passage that you are all familiar with. Pastor Ted has spoken about it several times. Doug has shared different aspects of it. It's from the parable of the lost sheep. A lot of you have read it. I've read it time over and over again. And each time when I read it, there's different layers and layers of truth that God is speaking to my life. So I'm going to share that with you. So I'm going to pray for each other, for us first, before we go. Okay. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word is fresh every day. Lord, regardless of how many times we have read your word, meditate on it, you continue to reveal truth after truth about your kingdom and how we can use that truth to live a life that reflects your glory and reflect who you are in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to, some of you are new here, so we're going to just going to read the verses through, okay? Do you have that up there, Tatiana? Okay. Let's go in one voice and just read that, the whole thing, okay? Jesus continued, there was a man.
The younger one said to his father, give me my shares of the estate.
So he divided. Set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living.
After he had everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of the country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He longed to lay away his stomach for the poor pigs were eating, but no one wanted anything. When he came in, kissing. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants,
Quick,
bring the wedding vessel and put it on a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.
Thank you. You guys read that really well. It's said that, you know, in marketing, it takes about 6 to 20 times for the message to really sink in. So I was counting. Pastor Ted may have talked about it twice. Doug may have reflected on it once, and I'm the fourth time. So maybe it'll sink in. So let's do a quick review, right, about the younger son. It started out where he wanted to ask the inheritance for his father. He left and he squandered it. And when he came to his senses, he thought he was coming back. And on his way back, his father hugged him and restored him with the ring, with the sandal and the robe. And the father, on the other hand, we can see that he's always waiting for the son. He's waiting for them each day coming back. And when he waited for the son, he saw him at a distance, he ran and just loved upon him. I don't want to go too much into the review of that one, but I just wanted to share that how I really identify with the lost son many years ago. After dental school, I finished. I was doing my own thing, and it came to a point where all of the things that I accomplished really didn't mean much. Outwardly, it was awesome, but inwardly, I was famine. I was really broken inside. And that's when I came to search for truth, and that's when I found the Lord. And the Lord since then has really restored me. He has given me back my identity. I'm no longer just this person doing that or this person doing this. That can always change, you know, within our career, but I'm truly God's son. And that really spoke to me. And the other part, too, was about the father. Growing up, I had a very loving father, but I was really, really never close to him. And I could never find out why that was. But when I was 9 years old, I grew up in Vietnam. And because of the Vietnam War, my father chose to stay back at home because his father, which is my grandfather, decided to stay back in Vietnam at the end of the war. And because of that, my father left me and my two older brother. He sent me with my uncle to the United States. And for 7 or 8 years, I didn't see my biological father at all. And when he came back, when I saw him, I had no connection with him. None whatsoever. I can see him, but there was no connection at all. But yet, as God is healing my own heart, I've become to love my father again. I come to know that my dad did love me. My dad did care for me. But there's always that greedy part of me that always says, how much do you really love me, Dad? You gotta prove it. So I think it was last time when Pastor Ted talked about how the father in this story waited for his son to come back on the long distance, where he actually pulled up his robe, ran after his son. And in the Jewish culture, that was really, really, men don't do that. It's just very disgraceful. And there was that story that he talked about, how there's this called Kezaha ceremony. Do you guys remember that? So in the Jewish culture, the Kezaha ceremony is reserved for Jewish boys who left the village, and as they're, because they squandered their money and lived with the Gentiles, that on the way back at the city gates, the elder men of the village would wait there for him to come back. And if they did, they would break this pottery in front of them and would tell to this Jewish boy that, hey, since you've broken your relationship with us, we're going to break this relationship with you. So therefore, the father is always waiting there to protect the son from that shame, but also perhaps protect him from that physical abuse that could come in there. So when he would share that time, that it really ministered to me, because for the longest time, I could never get close to my father. And because of that, it really showed how my father really loved me. My own biological father loved me. He sacrificed his own life. He sacrificed his own 7 or 8 years so that I could have a chance to live somewhere else. And as you know, during the Vietnam War, they didn't know if they could have what to eat or not. And if you were to escape from Vietnam, it's usually by either land or sea. And most of the people who did leave by the sea, one-third of them would perish in the sea. So for me to really have that memory back, that healing back, you know, it really ministered in my heart. God, yes, Dad, yes, you love me, but you really sacrificed your life for me. And it really ministered to me at that time. And because of that one, since my father now, he's about 70-something years old, and he's going through his second bout of cancer treatment, my wife and I decided to ask my dad if he wanted to move in with us so that he can finish his life well. And he's still thinking about it, but the truth is that because of stories like this, God touched my heart and I was able to reciprocate in that way. So the main talk that I want to talk about today is about the elder son. Do you ever wonder why Jesus just stopped it, didn't stop at the younger son and celebrated, but then he continued on for 7 verses about this elder son? You know, what is Jesus trying to teach us today? So outwardly, when we look at this elder son, right, he seems really, really, I'm just gonna, hardworking. He stayed at home with his father. He was always there on the field. He's probably managing all of the servants there. Perhaps he's also doing double work now because the younger brother took off. We can also see that he may be obedient. He didn't tell his father, said, hey, since the old, younger one left, I'm going to take off too. But he remained at home and he remained doing the work that his father was giving him. We can also see that maybe I think that was about it, what I was still going to say. But inwardly, we also see how he really was. He was angry. He was angry at the moment he found out that the father's throwing this party with a fattened calf for his younger brother who's just come home. You know, he said, all these years I've been with you, you didn't give me a goat to party with my friends. I've always wondered, like, he's been there the whole time. Couldn't he just ask? You know? Couldn't he just ask? I mean, a lot of us who have children, right? If our children ask us about, oh, I want this, that, or I want that, that. If it's not harmful to them, I think eventually we'll give it to them. So I think here is like the son, the older son could have asked as well. He was also very self-righteous. He's saying, well, look at that son. You know, he squandered all the money. He lived on a wild life with prostitutes. But here I am. I stayed home with you. I cared for you. But I think the deeper issue, what's going on here, is that this, the older son was actually also very lost, right? He was lost in many different ways, but the two areas that I think that he was most lost in is he was lost in his relationship with his father. He forgot who he really was. When the younger brother squandered asked for the inheritance, you realize that he also received his inheritance too. In Jewish culture, when the father divides the inheritance, the oldest one always received the double portion. So he's probably gotten the house, all the farmland, and the animals. So he knew what he got. So he forgot that he was a son, but yet the other thing is that he identified himself as the slave. Right? He says, all these years I've slaved for you. All these years I've done this for you. All this year I've done that for you. But the really sad part too is that if he identified himself as a slave, he probably identified his father as a master. He's no longer a father, but a master. So to me, I find that really intriguing when he felt that way. Sometimes we can also see that how disrespectful the older son was. At least the younger son, he went off and did his wild things in a far distant land. But here, the older son was also very disrespectful. There's this big party going on, right? The fat calf must have fed maybe a few households, but maybe the entire village. But this is a big party. He was on his way home and he heard all this dancing and singing. But for him to refuse to come in, for him to be the older son receiving the inheritance, he's supposed to represent the father. But he chose to stay outside. He chose to stay outside and dish on his father in front of everybody. So I think he was lost in that way. He was lost in his relationship with his father. He was also lost in his relationship with his younger brother as well. Because when he, in the scripture there, it says, read that, the first thing he says that to his father, like, this son of yours, no, not my brother. So he was lost in his relationship with his younger brother. He could have, I always wonder, you know, like with all that time, he's truly the brother. Why couldn't he just stop his younger brother? Hey, counsel him. You're the old one. You've lived longer. You know what's going on. Why don't you just persuade him? Say, hey, you shouldn't do that, you know. Dad's really good. You shouldn't do that. Or if he did leave, he could have just ran after his brother, called him back, or asked his father, say, Father, you know what? We need to go after him. Let's bring him back. But instead, he chose to be, not hate, but even worse than that is actually indifferent. He didn't care. He didn't care what happened to his younger brother. He just cared for himself. So sometimes I think we perceive being lost as like a position, like being in a part of a company, you know, like if I'm a manager or a vice president. But what's really here is that he lost his position. He lost his relationship with his father and his brother. Now we see the father has to go on and deal with another son, right? He just threw the party for the younger son. Now he has to deal with the older son. From the look of it, we can look at it and say, If I was a father, what would I do? You know, there's this party going on, and the older son's supposed to, the father could have said, you know what, I'm going to deal with you later. My younger son just came back. I'm going to put him in your position. I'm going to take the inheritance away from you. Or he could have just yelled at the son, like, hey, come on in, we have a party. And by doing that way, he could have shamed the older brother, his older son as well. So what I really love about this one was that how the father went out and restored his son. He said, hey guys, wait a moment. Carry on with your party. I'll tell the servants to help with all the guests. He just went outside and he restored the son. The first thing he said was, you're my son. He didn't say, why are you not coming in? Why aren't you doing this? Why are you doing that? But he says, my son. He really counseled to the older son. You know, growing up in a family of 9 brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't get to hear that very much from my parents. But when we hear the word, my son or my daughter, it's just like pure gold in our hearts. We would always drop what we were doing and perk up and say, wow. So he, the father here, restores the son in such a beautiful way. He said, my son, you're my son. That's the identity that the father gave back to him. Not only said that one, but he says that all I have is yours. All my possession is yours. Everything that I have is yours. So you're not a slave, okay? He didn't say, oh, you this, you that. No, you're my son. He also reminds his relationship with his younger brother, too. We can see that the father in verse 32 says that, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours has returned. The father didn't say, oh, this younger son of mine returned. No, he said, no, this brother of yours returned. This same brother of yours that you grew up with, that you had fun with in the house, that you worked on the field together with, you know, he's come home, so you need to celebrate at the same time. The beauty of the father's response here is so divine, is that he takes the veil off the older son, the veil of anger, the veil of self-righteousness, and really said, this is your brother has come home. If he didn't come home, he would have been dead. He's already dead because he's squandered everything away. He's so far away. But now that he's come home, that we need to really, really celebrate. So when I see that one, it's such a perfect and awesome picture of what a heavenly father is. As I alluded earlier, is that I'm from a family of 9, and I have 5 brothers, and I'm still praying for all 4 of them to come home to the Lord. We were raised in a Catholic family, and we did all the right rituals, but they are as far away from the Lord as possible. But I've never stopped praying for them. If there's an opportunity for me now to share the gospel with them, I would do it in a way that is sensitive to what they are. And even a couple of months ago, I shared with you about my brother-in-law who came to Christ. And when he came to Christ, not only came to Christ, but he brought his own son to Christ as well. There's 2 in the same day. And we've been praying for them for 10 years. And it was so awesome to see them. It was so awesome to really stand and witness their baptism and for them to accept the Lord. And when God says that there's rejoice in heaven, and I can really taste that, I can really sense that. So the question here is that we knew that the younger brother was in the house and celebrating and feasting. But the parable just ended right there. We don't know if the older son ever actually got into the house. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe Jesus is still waiting for the Pharisees and the scribes to turn and come home. But I think the lesson here, we can really apply it to our church and our life as well. And I think that's where the message that I really want to finish up with is that as a church, I think we should really guard our hearts against being like the older brother. What we have is an awesome relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's not a master or slave. It's actually son and father. And I just feel that if we always have that joy when we come to serve, we should have that joy. We shouldn't be angry or self-righteous or comparing here or there. We should always be joyful. We're in God's presence. You know, the psalmist says that one day in your courts is 1,000 better elsewhere, right? Just one day. And we're in his household already. We should always rejoice. And I believe with all my heart that if we have that joy, there would be celebration all the time, that we really could be that light on the hill, that salt for the community. There would be no bickering, no, you know, climbing here, climbing there, no status anymore. We're not working like the world where you're going to see, you're going to get this promotion here. We're all God's children, okay? The other part, too, is that sometimes I feel like we could be the older son, too, when we are welcoming others home, other believers who are coming back. You know, when we read the word today, sometimes we, that could be because of our own religious standard or our own preference, okay? But truly, God is really teaching us not to be like that. I remember about 20 years ago when I was traveling back to Vietnam. I was going to say Vietnam, I was going to say abroad. But it was a very joyous time with my family. And that Sunday, I went back to the Catholic Church with my older brother. And I wore my best shorts and my best t-shirt, my tennis shoe. And I just remember while I was waiting in line to enter the church, there was a local man that came up to me and he like spoke in Vietnamese really fast and he was pointing at me and pointing this and pointing that. And I knew that from the tone of his voice, he was telling me, why are you wearing these clothes? You should be wearing other clothes. But that really left a sting in my heart. My brother had to refrain, you know, hold me back from really confronting this man. I was going to tell him, you know, I know what you're saying. I mean, even though I haven't spoken the language for a long time, I really understand what you're saying. And I was going to tell him pretty much off, but of course in a nice way, but I'm so glad that my brother held me back from that. And because of that one, it really deterred me from going to church for quite a long time. But praise to be to Jesus, when I gave my life up to him and when I found the church here that we have right now, because I think without that, I would still be far away from the Lord. And the Lord changed that around when my wife and I, we entered this church at the main campus in San Jose. I think one of the first thing that we came in, and I'm not sure if you remember this, Pastor Ted, but he was standing there and he says, uh-oh, my dentist is here. I'm not sure if I flossed today. Do you remember that? So that really left a deep, what you call it, joy in my heart that he recognized me, you know. But not only that, at that time, I only knew Doug and Cheryl, and they just say, hey, come on in, you know. What are you guys doing here? They really wanted to know us. And Virginia and Eugene, they just called us by name, and they made an effort for us to feel welcome. And we've been here ever since. And I've grown in the Lord, and I thank God so much for that. I'm not sure how much time. I think I went faster than I had planned. But in closing, I just want to remind us of one big lesson here, is that Jesus left this parable unfinished. But the truth is that he's reminding us that there is a feast and celebration going on. And he's asking all of us, are we going to stand outside and be angry or self-righteous? Or are we going to enter in into the feast that he's preparing for us? I just want to encourage you, let's make every effort to go in. Life is too short. Okay? Life is too short. I'm turning 50 this year and I can't believe it. But life is really, really too short. Let's enter into the celebration. Let's go after the loss for God. That's our mission. That's Jesus' mission. Make every effort to do that. You know, one thing I forgot to say too is that at New Vine here, that's why we want to make every effort each Sunday to welcome anyone who's new to the church. Whether you've been in church for all your life or this is your first time coming in, we really want to make an effort to welcome you. And it may be silly at times, you know, like, oh, we're getting this name tag, but we really want to know you by name. Or Brother Fong always clapping, yeah, welcome, brother, you know. You know, and or even like every fourth time when we're going to tell you, oh, you're a Viner now. All those little things is because we want to make sure that you're welcome. And each week the team gets together, sets the table, cooks a wonderful meal so that we can enjoy afterwards. Because we want to let you know that you have a place here. This is your home. This is your community. You know what's even more wonderful than the meals? Is seeing each and every one of us breaking bread together, sharing a meal together. Because it's only by the love of God that can bring brothers and sisters from different walks of life, different experiences of life. You know, I'm Vietnamese, Pastor Ted's Korean, you're Chinese, Sister Luz is Spanish, right? You know, God is creating this beautiful mosaic here at this church. And I think that's the reflection of heaven. Every tribe and every nation, every tongue will come and worship him as Lord. And you know, like today, even though it's wintry outside, you know, before I came here, my neighbor's branch was like falling off because of the rain. And at my house, I was receiving a text from neighbors saying that, oh, a branch fell down on your mother-in-law's car. But you know, I said, that's okay. That's only temporal. Those things can be fixed. The tree can be cut down. But coming together as a family of God, sharing God's word, you know, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of this church. That's the beauty of this story that I wanted to say, but I'm going to say it now. The truth is that we're all lost. Whether we like it or not, we're all lost. The son, the older son was lost. The younger son was lost. We're all lost. But praise be to Jesus, he found us. Amen. He found out us because of Jesus Christ. You know, let's be thankful of that. I think that's the beauty of this story. And I'm just going to maybe lead us in time of prayer a little bit. I don't know if you want to come up. Yeah, that'd be perfect. So I'm just going to lead us in time of prayer and close us with. I'm just going to ask you some questions and just come before the Lord, you know. Now, there are times when you feel like you're the lost sons, like the younger one, where you feel like it's not worth it coming back because of your past or your experience. But the Lord is really saying, you know, just come as you are. I know everything that you have done. I know even before that you have done it. Or sometimes when you feel like we're in the church for so long that we may feel like we're working and working and doing things, that we really forget that we're in God's house, that He's always with us, and that what we're doing right here is actually a form of worship to Him and a praise. So I just want to bless you to know that you are His sons and daughters. That's it. That's your identity. He created you. He knitted you in your mother's womb before you even knew it. And He fashioned you. So Father, we always thank you, Lord, for this feast that you're inviting us to come. You've always prepared the room for us. You always prepared the place for us, Lord. Lord, you remind us that without you, we are completely and utterly lost. We could be lost into this world and this wealth. We could be lost in our situation, or we can be lost in our own mind. But you are telling us just to come home. That you're always with us. And that no matter where we go, that when we call upon you, that you are with us, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for telling us that we are no longer lost. Every day, Lord, that you're waiting for us to return. You're waiting there with open arms to restore us, Lord, with the robe, with the ring, and with the sandal, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your patience, Lord. Sometimes we don't even want to come back to you, but you are waiting there patiently. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and welcoming us into your kingdom every day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.